Spirit and in truth. It's good to see each and every one of you. Hopefully the last several weeks, months, has been beneficial to you. I hope that you're not excited about this book coming to a close, but rather that you've enjoyed the material and the Bible studies. I hope that it's been beneficial to each and every one of you. I mentioned to Sean, and he mentioned as well that there's just so much more that could be said about the book of Hebrews and what we could possibly cover in a one-quarter study. I've made mention to you, a couple of you anyway, maybe several of you, that I certainly feel like I've been on fast forward, that I've ran a marathon trying to get through the book of Hebrews. But I wanted to cover as much as I possibly could, and certainly didn't want to shortchange anyone on the book of Hebrews. And so I hope that it's been beneficial to you. You have all of the slides that we've covered on Wednesday night that we've talked about for each of the chapters. I think that there was about 215 slides. And so you've got more than enough material to go back and make your own notes and to study from this good book. A lot could be said about Hebrews chapter 13, but we've chosen the very first verse of this chapter. I appreciate the very good job that Jacob did in reading our scripture reading. He certainly didn't have to end with verse 1, but we appreciate the reading that he did. The first verse of chapter 13 just simply says, "Let brotherly love continue." It's a short verse, but one that just has so much meaning, especially in light of what he's been talking about the whole book. As he's been trying to provoke these Christians to be steadfast, to be faithful to God, to understand that we have so many more blessings and privileges that God has blessed us with this side of the cross than what they had under the law of Moses. And we talked about that this morning as we talked from chapter 12, looking unto Jesus as He is an example in various different ways. Very simple things that we're going to talk about this evening. And go through here and just think about the thought, let brotherly love continue. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 18, the Bible says, "And above all things, have fervent charity." I think the New King James Version actually uses the word love instead of charity, as some of your versions may use, "among yourselves. For charity," or love, "shall cover the multitude of sins." I'm convinced without a doubt in my mind that if we have the love toward one another that we ought to have, that there is not a problem one that Satan could hurl at us that cannot be settled, that cannot be worked out, that cannot be conquered. I think we can conquer any problem or obstacle as a group of God's people if we have the love that we ought to have for one another, if we have the concern one for another, if we have the respect one for another, if we have the long-suffering, the patience, and so forth, that we ought to have. Let's think about that just a little while this evening. You're well aware that there are different words that are rendered love in the New Testament. And they have different meanings. Fraternal affection is from the Greek word Philadelphia. This is another Greek word that means to love in a moral or a social sense, such as in John chapter 3, verse 16, when the Bible says, "For God so loved the world," this is the word that the word love was taken from. Or this word, probably, which is the most commonly known among you this evening, would be agape, love or affection or benevolence. And so these are three different words that are rendered love in the New Testament. But I want us to think about the fact that we are to love one another, first of all, because Christ, God, admonishes us to love one another. And again, I made mention to you in a sermon not too many weeks back, I think it was, how that if for no other reason we do these things because God said so, that would be reason enough. Well, this is another example. Yes, there's a lot of reasons why we ought to love one another, but first of all, God said to love one another, such as in John chapter 13, verse 35. I've used that several times in sermons. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one toward another. Or Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16, if you'll turn there and notice what Paul is stating. Of course, he's writing this by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Pinning this by, as he was directed to pin this, verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying. Edifying means to build up or encourage of itself. How? In love. Or 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. Well, the whole book of 1 John talks about love. That God is love, that we are to love one another. Notice what he says. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. That's a pretty strong statement, pretty strong word. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Isn't it sad when brethren would be standoffish to one another? I wouldn't have said, been among God's people before when perhaps one brother or sister wouldn't talk to the other. And yet, we're all under the pretense, hopefully it's not just a pretense, of saying, I love God. Well, if we say we love God and yet we don't love our brother, and he's saying we're not being truthful. Because how can we love our brother, or God rather, whom we've not seen, is what he's saying. If we don't love our brother who we see, how can we love God whom we have not seen? But not only that, we need to pray for one another. Sometimes we pray for all sorts of different things, and yet we don't think about one another. And then sometimes the case is, and I'll take inventory with myself first, that sometimes we are quick to say, I will remember you in prayer, and then what happens? We forget one another in prayer. We need to continue to remember one another in prayer. I'll admit to you, I need your prayers. I don't mind to solicit your prayers because I know that I need the prayers of God's people. And I think that others need my prayers. Now, that's not being conceited, but we just need one another's prayers. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, pray without ceasing. Are we continually in prayer? Of course, he's not talking about we shirk all responsibilities and just give ourselves to prayer and that's it. And we don't do anything else, but to continually pray to God on an ongoing basis. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, that we are to make our supplications and thanksgivings made known unto God. How are we to do that? He says, in prayer. James 5, 16. Confess your faults one toward another. Pray for one another. Do we do that? If we're going to let brotherly love continue, and again, there is a number of directions you could go with a sermon like this, but certainly if we love one another the way that we should, then we ought to pray for one another. When's the last time that you or me prayed for the congregation here? There's a number of sick among us right now. Several of our members that are sick and hurt. When's the last time that we prayed for them? We need to continue to do that. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 3, when he catalogs in that verse some individuals that we ought to pray for kings, those in authority, for one another. When's the last time that we prayed for those in positions of authority? We need to do that. That's important. If ever it was important, it is now. When's the last time that we prayed for the elders, for CL and Larry, and the deacons that serve here in various ways that I'm convinced we don't even know about many times? As they labor among us, we need to do that. And then again, for each other. But not only that, to encourage one another. Remember, as you go back to Hebrews chapter 10, a few chapters back, and he makes that statement, Hebrews 10, verse 25, as he is provoking them, he's encouraging them, the need to assemble But you know, again, in the context of the book, had they went back to the law of Moses, there would be no Lord's Day assembly. And so he's saying, don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. But he says in verse 24, to provoke, consider one another, and provoke unto love and to good works. We need to encourage one another. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, notice what Paul pens in this verse. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Yes, they were doing that, but they needed to continue to do that. I've told you many times from the pulpit, and I mean every word of it, that we're so blessed here to have so many individuals that care about one another. Not every congregation is that way, and you're to be commended for it. And so, yes, we do that, but we need to be admonished to not give up on doing that, but to continue to see the need for that and the value in that, and to continue to exhort and to edify one another as we can. Now, so many of you can do that in ways that I can't. Maybe I can do that in ways that you can, because we have different abilities. So many of you women are great cooks. Well, you probably would not want to eat anything that I tried to put together. Probably wouldn't taste very well. So many of you can make things with your hands. Various garments or blankets or whatever. Well, again, you have the advantage over me on that. I can't do that. Don't want to know where to start. So many of you can work on cars and small engine repairs and things like that and are quick to help out along those lines. Well, you have the advantage over me. I don't know anything about an engine and so forth and how to fix it. So many of you are busy about mowing and cutting grass. I can help you there because I can push a mower and I can swing a weed eater. But we need to encourage one another to help. And there's a lot of ways in which we can do that. Not only in labor like that, but in praying for one another again. In studying with one another. Encouraging one another. And telling individuals when they do a good job that they did a good job. When Jacob does a good job reading the Scripture, he needs to know he did a good job. And all the rest of the brethren, or those that wait on the Lord's table, or that leads a song, or that leads a prayer, or whatever the case may be, offers an invitation. They do a good job. We're blessed beyond what we could ever deserve. And so we need to encourage one another. That is, if we are gone to let brotherly love continue. I'm convinced we need to let it continue. And I want to convince myself the need of that and to do all that I can to help it continue and not hinder it from continuing. But not only that, to do good to one another. I just made mention of that. We talked about that in the sermon this morning. You know the verses, Galatians 6:10. In the context of that, he's talking about individuals. The very first verse sets forth that he's talking about individuals. But as we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. You do good to all men. I'm supposed to do good unto all men. 1 John 3:17. Notice what he mentions in that passage. 1 John 3:17. Let's go back to verse 16 and notice this verse. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? I can't help but to think about that verse and to think about the statement that sometimes we need to make sure that we're not married to our possessions. And I'm guilty about valuing what I have, and we probably all are. That we're thankful for what we have and we put value to what we have. But we don't need to esteem it and hold so tight to it that we're not willing to share. Doesn't always mean that we've got to give it away. You may be able to do that. But are we willing to share it? Go back to Acts chapter 2. Beginning Acts chapter 2 and through the book. And see what type of attitude those Christians had. If your mower tears up and my mower works, then shouldn't we have the attitude that, you know what, you have a mower so long as I have a mower? I'm willing to do that. I hope it would be returned in working order, but still nonetheless, I'm willing to share that with others. We've got at least a couple here that I might could take it to and they could repair it. But still, you see the point in that. As long as I have food, you have food. Because you can come to my house and eat. Or when Tracy gets it done, I'll bring it to you if that's what I need to do. Sometimes we need to let people know when we need help. That's not always evident to others. Sometimes we may need to let that be made known. James 2, verse 15. Talks about that if we... a brother or sister be naked, destitute of daily food and so forth. Willing to give them that? He's talking about faith and works in the context of that, but the point. Let brotherly love continue. A lot could be said about that one verse in the final chapter of the book of Hebrews. Many other exhortations, admonitions that he gives throughout the 13th chapter of that book. Again, I've enjoyed the book. I've enjoyed the study. I hope that you have. You may have a number of questions about that, and you can ask me your questions. If I don't have an answer, I'll search until I find out. We have several among us that are full of wisdom that can perhaps give you a more speedily answer than what I can. But I hope that we'll think about the book of Hebrews, that we'll anticipate the other books that are going to be covered in upcoming studies, and do all that we can to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord. Perhaps you're here tonight and you've never obeyed the gospel of Christ. Why not do that? You have opportunity. Tomorrow's not a given. Today is. God's blessed you with it. Why not obey the gospel of Christ tonight? Why would you leave this assembly not obeying the gospel of Christ? You've heard it. I'm convinced every single one gathered here this evening has heard the gospel more than once. Will you obey it? This invitation on what it takes to become a Christian is not going to change. It'll be the same way, though the world stand for another 2,000 years. That will never change. To hear the truth, believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, repent of your sins. Confess your faith in Him that He is the Son of God before others and be buried with Him in baptism for the remission of your sins. Will you do that tonight? Maybe you have done that, but you've fallen away and you've turned your back on the Lord. You started out writing as you obeyed the gospel of Christ and you fell away. You realize that. Why not repent of that? Why not turn loose of the ways of the world and make confession to God in prayer that He'll restore you to faithfulness. We'll pray with you and for you. The invitation's yours. Why not come right now?